jokes. You do you? I got it worse, man. Well, I could have moved the seat, but I hated to do that because it was all set for her, and all I was doing just a little bit, and it didn't work very well. But anyway, it was fun. We're in Hebrews. We're in Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to be talking about probably the two most important verses in Hebrews. These are verses that sum up a lot of what we're talking about, but I'm hoping to get through them today. I'm not going to get all the way through, but I'm going to get really close, but I'm hoping to get through most of it today. Hebrews chapter 13. Going to be reading verses 20 and 21, half of 21. Hebrews 13, starting in verse 20. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ. Now what we're looking at next week is, to whom be the glory forever and ever, amen. Okay, I don't want to get into that completely. And I know that sounds silly, but I'm just not going to get that far. But there's the passage, and I believe this passage answers a lot of our life questions, actually, and a lot of our life problems is found right here. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for this truth from your word, for an amazing truth, Lord, that you are. You know, sometimes we look back at the Old Testament, we wonder why you said, I am. I am. That describes you perfectly. You are. And Father, if we could get that through our heads, the great I am loves us, then we would live victoriously all the time. Father, I pray that you would help us to see the victory here, that you would help us to see our position of resting in you here, that you would help us to recognize your strength and your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, we've come to the place in Hebrews where the writer is talked about the superiority of Christ. He wants to keep people from going back under the old covenant system, going back under a religious system. There's some who wanted to do that, to not be persecuted, to be more comfortable, whatever it was. He wrote to help us and help them understand that Christ is superior to everything in the old covenant system, and that the true problem is a lack of salvation. So they needed to trust God. We found that out in chapter 6. And then the priesthood of Christ, we went through that and how he is the high priest, and then the comparison between the old covenant and the new. And then faith, what faith is and who had faith in the old covenant system. And then he says in chapter 12, run the race. So run the race. Let's go at it. Live that out. And it involves discipline. It involves living truth. And then he gives a final, kind of a final, but a big wrap-up warning for those who have not trusted Christ. But then we get to 13. He starts with the admonitions. Admonition of loving the brethren and hospitality and visiting prisoners and being right to your spouse and your family. And he goes on with all of those. And then he starts in with sacrifices, what Christian sacrifices, to praise God, to the sacrifices we can bring now, not because we have to, but because we can, we get to. The praise of God, to doing good and sharing and prayer. And the prayer was the last one we looked at last week. But what we're going to look at this week is the answer to their and our life issues, summing up Hebrews and summing up our life. I want to look at that. These verses are the key, I believe, to be the key verses in Hebrews. But we're going to start off looking at the nature of God. The nature of God. And look what it says right in verse 20. Because we have to have that foundation before we can get into the rest of it. In verse 20 it says, now the God of peace, and I'm going to stop right there. The God of peace. What is peace? Because that's what everyone looks for. As you pray for peace. You hope for peace. You want peace in a relationship. You want peace in your heart. You want peace in your mind. Well, it says here that the God of peace, the one who is in charge of peace, the one who is in his nature peace. And the word peace is a state of peace or freedom from worry. You ever had one of those times where you have freedom from worry? And the only time I could think of that is when, number one, the kids are all in bed and asleep, and I have work scheduled for tomorrow, everything's delivered, it's all there for tomorrow, my sermon is done, it's ready, and I'm sitting there going, okay, I can have peace. All right, that 3 seconds, it only goes 3 seconds, by the way. But those 3 seconds, if you can imagine that, the 3 seconds, this is God's heart for us. This is his, he is the God of peace. God is not working against you. He's not working to give you worry. He's not working to give you grief, to give you anxiousness, but true peace. That's what he is desiring. That's his nature. That's his gift. Philippians chapter 4. It says, be anxious for nothing. Remember, be worried for nothing. But by everything with what? Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So we have prayer. We can give it to God. And then it says, and then the supernatural peace, the peace that goes beyond our understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Do you notice how everything comes from God and remains in Christ in us? So this is a whole package. A peace package is what God has for us. That's what his desire is for us. And he is the God of that peace. Supernatural peace where we can't produce it, where we benefit from it, but we cannot produce it. He is in charge of it. He is the God of peace. Now, this is the God that's going to be working, okay? So I want you to keep that in mind. This is his nature. Keep this in mind, because now we're going to look at the work of God. So number one, the nature of God, the God of peace. Number two, the work of, and there's other attributes, you know, God of love and he is just and all of that, but here he's described as the God of peace. And I want you to see that. It's significant. Because this God of peace has peace for you in your life, in what's going on in your life. And this is how we can attain it right here. So the God of peace, the nature of God. Now we're going to look at the work of God. Here's what is significant about what God is doing. The God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord. Who brought up from the dead, brought up is raised from the dead. Now, this is the only time in Hebrews where he specifically mentions the resurrection, where he specifically talks about the resurrection, although it's implied throughout it. But he says, who raised up out of, that word from is the word ek, out of the dead. So he was dead. Christ was dead. He raised him up out of the dead. And he had to do that. He had to die to conquer death, but he had to come alive again to conquer death and to give us new life. Do you realize if Christ had died on the cross and stayed dead, then he would have paid the penalty for sin, but we could never have life. We have life because he was resurrected to life, and so we have new life. We have abundant life. That's the free life that we have. The resurrection is huge importance, and I would love to get into that, but I want to get to the rest of this. But he had to be alive again to be our eternal high priest after the order of Melchizedek, what we've learned in Hebrews. But look how he's described. It says, brought up from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep. Literally in the Greek, it says the shepherd of the sheep, mega. The shepherd of the sheep, mega. Great, huge, the massive shepherd of the sheep. This is, because throughout the New Testament, preachers are called shepherds of the flock. But Christ is the great shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep. Pastors would be called an under-shepherd, those who are under-shepherd, under Christ. But Christ is the great shepherd. He is the one who is totally in charge of the sheep, sheep being us. He is the true shepherd. He gave his life for the sheep, for us. That's how much he loved us. And it says, he was raised up from the dead through the agency of what? The agency of the blood of the eternal covenant. The blood, it's so important. It's so important that we understand the importance of the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ, he was perfect. The blood was perfect. There was no flaw to it. It was adequate. It was unblemished. And all of those traits, I think he brought that up because all of those traits would have been part of the old covenant lambs. The lambs were supposed to be unblemished. They were supposed to be, you had to use the blood of the lamb, the whole blood. It was, everything about that was a picture of the Messiah, a picture of the true sacrifice. So again, he's pointing the people back to the old covenant and saying, look, what the old covenant could not do, Christ did. What the old covenant did in a transitory nature, Christ did eternally. He did eternally. So we have the importance, I just want you to remember again, the importance of the blood of the eternal covenant is fulfilling what God demands. And the eternal covenant, he says, as opposed to the transitory, to the old covenant. Remember, the old covenant system was transitory. It was, as Hebrews said, it was fading away. Whew, my voice is changing.
It was fading away.
It was fading away, and it would soon disappear, right? This was God's covenant. This was his old covenant, but the old covenant was pointing to an eternal covenant, to one that would not fade away, would not disappear. That was what it was pointing to. So the old covenant was transitory. It was there for a purpose, and that purpose was to point to the new. And so this is the eternal covenant he's talking about. And again, he's drawing their minds back to this religious system they wanted to get involved with. They wanted to go back under. And yet, God wasn't in the religious system. Christ wasn't in the religious system. He was in a relationship system. That's what we have today, is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Or we can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So this covenant, this new covenant, is perfect, it's eternal because of the blood of Christ that paid the eternal price for sin. And that's what we're talking about. So look what he says, look how he describes him. He says, even Jesus our Lord. I want you to see that. Jesus, because he's going to change it in the next verse. He says, Jesus our Lord. Now we see Lord throughout the New Testament. What does Lord mean? Master. The one in charge. The one we are to bow down to. The one we are to submit to. Jesus our Lord. All right, so this is the one that God, the God of peace, raised from the dead. This is how powerful God is. He has this power. He has this might. He has the strength to do this. So we're talking about God of peace who wants peace in our life, who is offering peace in our life. And he has power even to raise his son from the dead. He has so much power and so much might. So get that in your mind. And this is his work. His work, number one, is to raise him from the dead, raise Christ from the dead through the blood, the eternal covenant. So it fulfilled all of their religious system. It fulfilled it all. Right? So he's saying, look, that's going to draw to an end. But look how God can work in you. He says, this is how God worked in making this covenant, in making salvation, in making a way of salvation. But look at what he can do in you. Look at the next verse. Because here we're going to go on to the fact that he's talking about the work of God. He's still talking about the work of God. It says, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. Equip you in every good thing to do his will. The word equip, you might, if you have the King James, it would be perfect you, okay? It's the word equip is a it's an aorist tense, which means it's a picture. It's what God does once. He does this. I mean, he does it, and yet it is always growing because it's an active voice. So it's always growing. But it's an operative. The word operative means it's a desire. It's a strong desire. It's not only possible, but it's desirous. So he equips you in every good thing or every good work, which is what we do, into, now I want you to see this, into or toward, to do, or into, literally it's into his, the doing of his will, the doing. Now I want you to see the doing, into doing, because that word means to do or to practice or to perform, to make or to cause to be, into causing our life to be. So it's talking about how our life is conducted. Okay? So he's equipped us to conduct our life to into the doing of our life to do his will, to accomplish his will. And this is where it gets fun, because his will is God's desire for you, right? It's what God's is in Scripture. It's in Scripture, what he wants for you. He wants us to live godly. He wants us to be honest. He wants us to live righteously before others. And he has that will for us, and it's found in his words, according to the example of his son. Jesus did what? He did only what his father said. He said only what his father told him. He's the perfect example of dependence and yielding. But the problem is, as hard as we try, we can't do it. We can't follow that example on our own. So, let's go back to the word equip, because this word is really fun. This word equip, you know, when we think of an army, if I was going to equip an army, well, I'd give them guns, right? I'd give them ammunition. That's not equipping them. I mean, that's partially equipping them. But what's the problem if I give them guns? What's the problem if I give them ammunition? And that's it. They have no instruction, number one. They have no training, number two. If I would just take Lexi and Lily and Danny and James, say, okay, here's some guns. Okay, not a problem. I mean, they've shot guns before, right? Well, here's an M16. What? What is that? How does this work? Okay, no training in it. Right, the word equip isn't that God gives us a bunch of stuff. Okay? Literally, the word equip means to make complete. Make complete. To prepare totally. To cause to be fully qualified. Right? So, this God of peace, who is able to raise Jesus from the dead, who is able to have this blood of the eternal covenant, this God of peace who calls Jesus our Lord, is the one who's going to make you fully qualified to do his will. Fully qualified. All right, so if I gave someone a gun in the army, he's already had training. He already knows how to use that gun. He already has been through classes. He's been through training. He's been out on the shooting range. He knows what to do with that. God, this God of peace, who is greater than any of us, he is making us fully qualified to do his will. Completely, totally qualified. How does he do that? Oh, he just goes, zap, you're on, right? No! He lets us get sick. He lets us have relationship problems. He lets us do all of these things that we're going, this isn't any fun. This isn't. How many of you have ever been disciplined in anything? Is it fun? It is so far from fun. All right? And yet, it produces something good. Guess what God is allowing us to, and remember, discipline, the discipline area was back in chapter 12. And God says, embrace it. Embrace it. Why? Because of what the results are. But being trained by God through life's problems, standing firm with the armor of God, seeing that we, and this is a key, this is one big key, seeing that we are God's work and God's workmanship. Did you catch that? God's work isn't what we do. Yes, it involves what we do, but God's work is us. We are God's project. We are God's work. We are His workmanship. You realize that? We are God's workmanship. And He wants us to succeed in every situation, and He says He's equipping us to do His will. He is preparing us totally, not partially, not just handing us a bat. He's teaching us to swing. He's totally preparing us through our life, through what goes on in our life. We cannot accomplish, and by the way, we cannot accomplish God's will unless we are equipped with His power. With His power, through the Holy Spirit, given the gifts that He gives, the spiritual gifts that we have. And even then, we cannot do it ourselves. You realize that? God, He prepares us totally. This is what's fun. He completely prepares us. He trains us through our life and in our life, and He gives us everything we need to qualify us so that we can go do His will, and we still can't do it. So you know what He does? Look what it says. This is great. Equip you in every good work to do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight. What's pleasing in God's sight? His will. His will is what's pleasing in His sight. So God is the one working, because guess what that word working is? See that word working? That word working it comes from the same root word as you go back in three words before it. Do. So what we are to do, God is doing in us. You see that? So what we are to do, what He fully qualifies us for and fully prepares us for and builds us in our life for to do, He does. You see, the first do is us. The second do is Him. And the second do takes over the first do. Why? Because He's the God of peace. You want peace in your heart. You want peace in the life situations that you're under that you don't understand. Then recognize that He's the one equipping you to do His will. To do His will. Because He's doing it in you. God is even taking over and doing what He wants us to do. He is working in us. Working in us. And that's the most, I think, one of the most exciting phrases in this book. Working in us. He's doing, He's practicing, He's performing in us, who don't deserve it, what is pleasing in His sight, His will. And how does He do this? Look what it says. It says, where does it say? Through Jesus Christ. Notice it doesn't say, through Jesus our Lord. It says, through Jesus the Christ. Through Jesus the Messiah, our Savior. Our Savior. He's the one that helps us. So it's through Jesus Christ. Before Jesus was Jesus our Lord, our Master. We needed to understand that so we could come under His authority. Now it's through Jesus our Savior, the one who loves us, the one who saved us. So, question, what life issues do you have? What life issues do you have? What huge problems are you dealing with? Because He is equipping you completely. If you have trusted in Christ as your Lord and Savior, He is equipping you. He is building you. The things that happen in your life where you have to go to Him. You ever hit the place where you had nowhere to go look but up? Nowhere to look but God? He loves you being in that position. He doesn't like the process of you getting to that position. And most of the time, we put ourselves in that position. He doesn't put us in that position. We do it. through our sin, through our not trusting him. But when we get in that position, we look up and say, Lord God, you are master. Then he has the opportunity of equipping. And by the way, that word equipping, remember, it's an optative. It's a possibility. It's a desire. And it's a desire that God has for us. He wants to equip us to do his will. He wants to work in us to accomplish what's pleasing in his sight. He wants to do it, but it means that we have to yield to him. He wants you doing his will. And he is doing it through you. Whatever situation you're in, it is God's job to make you ready and prepared to do his will. And then it's God's job to do his own will through you in the power of his Son, in the agency of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Your issues are God's way of accomplishing his will through you. You recognize that? Your issues are God's way of accomplishing his will through you, and you can rest in him because he's working in us. He's working in us. Did you let that sink in? The God of peace is working in us to accomplish what's pleasing in his sight. The God of peace, whose nature is peace, is working in us. And the whole time, my heart is restless. Why? Because I'm not recognizing that the God of peace is equipping me in the situation I'm in. The God of peace is equipping. Did sin bring me into this situation? Yeah. Did problems that I had to stoop... Did silliness on my part... just about went out. Did silliness on my part bring me into that situation? Probably, yes. Can God overrule that and use me in that? Absolutely. Absolutely. When I yield to him. So it comes down to, okay, but I'm in this horrible problem. I'm having this huge issue in my life, and yet what God says is the God of peace. The God of lack of worry, the God of rest, is taking this situation and equipping you and making you complete enough to do his will and working in you to accomplish that will. He takes all the pressure. He's taken every little bit of pressure off of us and putting it all upon his shoulder. The God of peace is taking every bit of that peace and pouring it into our heart when we, what? By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known unto God. And then the peace that passes all understanding shall guard your, what? Hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Doesn't make your situation any more peaceful. You still might have a lot of problems in that situation. You still may be in the middle of a battle, in the middle of the war, but you can rest in him. Because the God of peace is the one that is totally equipping you and totally working it in your life. Working in you. I don't care what your situation is. Working in you. And it's not just a possibility, but it's a desire of God to be working in you. He wants to. There is no problem in your life that's too hard that God cannot work in. There's no issue he has not made his equipping of you available and desirable. The only factor in all of this is you. It's me. The only factor is you and it's me. Will you yield to him? Will you depend on his power? Will you bow to his will? Will you allow him to work and equip you to work in you and through you? Will you allow it? Because guess what we can do? Quench the Holy Spirit. We can say, no, I want to do it my way. Just like Frank Sinatra, right? I did it my way. That even sounded like Frank, didn't it? Well, guess what my way is? It's not God's way. because it means we are wanting to do it ourselves. So are you his? Number one, do you call him Lord? That's the first question. Have you trusted Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior? If you haven't, then none of this is for you. No part of it. You can't have God's power without having God in you, the God of peace. He wants to equip you. He wants to build you to do his will. And then he wants to do his will through you. And he will. And we can rest completely in, but you cannot have that without Jesus Christ in your life. If you've never trusted Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, please become his child today. He wants to give you that perfect peace that goes beyond all understanding. He wants you to have that. I would love to show you from God's word how you can have that relationship. Are you believing in him? Are you trusting him? For those of you who are saved, are you trusting him? Are you believing? Are you yielding to him? Because the only factor in this is us. He is equipping us. He is completing everything we need for every situation in us, and he's doing what he wants you to be doing. He's doing what he wants you to be doing. He's doing it, working in us his perfect will, what pleases him. He's doing that. Your life, this is amazing. Your life is his work. He works through his Spirit in you, in Christ Jesus. Your life, when yielded to him, is his life before others. You realize that? Your life, when you're yielded to him, dependent on him, is his life before others. That's why he says, we are created for good works, so that others might see those good works and what? Glorify our Father before him. Because it's his life. We don't even get to take credit for it. When we accomplish his will, we can't even take credit for it because he molded us, equipped us, he completed us, made us, qualified us exactly to do that will, but then he did it. He worked in us. He did that in us. And in every situation, we can give it to him and sit back and go, okay, so it's up to God to work in me to do this. So I want to yield to God and to follow his word and to obey, to serve, to sacrifice, whatever it is that God's will. And he does that and he works through us. He can use a vessel that is equipped and that is willing to be used. We are created for good works, so therefore glorify God in them. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says this: such confidence we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, the old covenant, but of the Spirit, the new covenant. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. But in the ministry of death, in letters engraved on stones, came with glory, so that the sons of Israel could not look intently on the face of Moses because of the glory of his face, fading as it was. How will the ministry of the Spirit fail to be even more with glory? For if the ministry of condemnation has glory, much more does the ministry of righteousness abound in glory. For indeed, what had glory in this case has no glory because of the glory that surpassed it, the old covenant and the new. For if that which fades was with glory, much more that which remains is with glory. So the new covenant remains and it has so much glory. But the beginning of that says our confidence is through Christ. Not that we're adequate in ourselves to consider anything from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. It's from God. And what he has given us in this new covenant is glory. Huge glory. And we're going to talk a little bit about that glory next week, because I'm not going to get there this week. But what I want you to see here is that your life can be your work or it can be his work. It can be what we want or it can be what he wants. You are not equipped to do anything to accomplish God's will for you in and of yourself. You need the power of God. Himself giving you what you need in every situation and also working through you to accomplish that in every situation. Then, us, Just like Paul, we can say, I make it my ambition to be what? Well-pleasing to God, whether at home in heaven or in this tent here on earth. I make it my goal, I make it my desire, strong desire to be well-pleasing to God. Because he's equipping us, the God of peace. Put it together, folks. The God of peace, the one who has such power to raise Christ from the dead, is equipping us. He is completing us. He is qualifying us, building us to do his will, and then doing it, working in us to accomplish what pleases him. So, how much credit do you get from that? We get nothing. He gets everything. He deserves it. We are unworthy servants. At the end of it, at the end of the day, we are unworthy servants. But look at what he's done in us. Look at what he's done with you. Look at what he's done in my life. I keep looking back. Keep looking back at what God has done in my life. And I stand in awe. You look at your own life. You look at where it wasn't sin dragging you. It was God showing you something. Because I know he's worked in your life. I know he has. You look back and see that God is the one who equipped you. God is the one who allowed you to go through this stuff so that you could help others. So that you could accomplish his will in somebody else. But then it was God doing it in you. It wasn't even you doing it then. It was God doing it. Give him the praise. Give him the glory. He deserves it. But in every one, like I started, the title of the message, what? I don't even remember what the title was. That's bad. What was the title? The answer. The answer to their and our life issues. Guess what it is? The God of peace is equipping us to do his will, and he's working in us. There's the answer to every life issue you have. It's God of peace, the God of rest, the God of freedom from worry is doing the work in you that he desires you do. He's doing it. He rest in him. You come across a situation that looks impossible, rest in him. Give it to God. Rest in him. And allow him to do it. The only factor here, remember, is us. Whether we allow him to work or not. Whether we yield to him. Whether we become dependent on him or independent of him. Here's his truth. Read it, study it, trust your Father. Yes, you may have to eat crow. Yes, you may have to be humble. Yes, you may have to not have your vengeance satisfied. But isn't it better to have true peace in your heart and in your life? Let's close in prayer. Lord God, thank you for being the God of peace. We look at this situation of say, you're equipping us to do your will, but that's hard, and that involves problems, and there's relationship issues, and you even said in your word, you haven't come to bring peace, but to bring a sword between family members, and you have all of these, there's so many things going on in our relationships and such that are problematic, and in our country, and you have religious freedoms being stripped, and you have all of these things that we think are so tragic. How can we have peace in that? Because the God of peace, the one who has so much power, is molding us, is making us fully qualified to do your will, and then doing that will. Even You make us qualified, but we still don't even have to do it. You do it. You're working in us to accomplish everything that's pleasing in you. That's how we can have peace in the midst of chaos, in the midst of problems. Help us, Lord God, to rest in you, to yield to you, because there comes the factor. We don't want to yield. We want our way. We're righteous in this. We're right in this. We deserve this. And Lord, every bit of that is screaming, I want to be independent. I want my own thing, my own way. And none of it is right. None of it. Only what we yield to you. Help us to realize that it's not the God of vengeance that is doing this. It's the God of peace that is equipping us, making us qualified, so that you can work through us. We love you. Thank you for your love. In Christ's name, amen.